Good morning and shalom. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. We are very grateful that God has given us yet another time that we can be able to reflect and understand the Word of God. We're in chapter 5 of the book of Ezra. And we want to do from verses 9 all the way to 17. All the way to 17. Now, we have discovered some truths, how we can live victorious while we are strangers and foreigners on this world. And we will be getting some cue or some biblical insight from the book of Peter. We want to see what Peter advises. Because Peter, especially 1 Peter chapter 1 in verses, in 1 Peter chapter 3 from verses 11, all the way to 16, we want to identify how Peter helped the believers who are living as aliens and strangers and scattered throughout the provinces when the foreign kings ruled on them. And it is so to all of us who today we are on this pilgrimage. We are on this Hajj, if we can call it, here on earth. And we have we want to fulfill God's purpose. And while we are here, we need to build a stronghold as we move here, where we can hide from the problems. It's a place, stronghold, we said, is a place of hiding. But you see, the enemy does not want us to rebuild the stronghold which he destroyed. He wants us to remain without. So one of the key thing while we are strangers on earth is to rebuild a stronghold. And this is the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the city where the community of faith, community of believers, community of practice, community of learning, community of God's people come together, and that is the secret of victory here on earth. Well, we are together. Apparently, when we are here, very many people, because they are wounded, as he said yesterday, they want to keep away from the community. They want to keep away from the church. And of course, they give themselves reasons. I want to advise you, and I want to encourage anyone who hears this message. If you're staying home because you're wounded by the church, apparently that is your healing. That is your hospital. Actually, the Church of Jesus Christ is your stronghold. Staying home is not your stronghold. Just looking for other fellowships that you're not fully committed to is not your stronghold. The stronghold is where you say, I want to give myself fully and I belong here. And I'm committed to this one. We discovered that the rebuilding of the temple had stayed for 16 years while it was stopped from that rebuilding. And it was stopped because the enemy does not want that. How did they start rebuilding the stronghold? And how did they live victorious in this? Two great things. Number one, as we saw yesterday, is the prophesying of the prophets of God, Haggai and Zechariah. Yesterday we looked at the power of prophesying. And we said prophesying is speaking the word of God to encourage, to undo guilt that has been planted in us. And we discover that they continue building. And as they were building, another opposition, another enemy, another strategy of the enemy was hatched against God's people. And this is what we call setting threatening questions. It's about interrogation, where you put threats on the lives of people. You frighten the people so that they may stop building. You see, the prophets are encouraging us to continue and becoming victorious. But the enemy continues to fight back, and that is the threat. And so we discover that there were two threatening questions that were sent. I know, and you will agree with me that the enemy uses a lot of threats, especially when they're asking questions. And one of the questions that the enemy always ask, who gave you authority to rebuild this stronghood and to finish it? Every time you, for example, you move in a country where there is restriction for believers to move there, and these people are looking for reasons to repatriate you or to take you back to your country as missionaries, I'm talking about as a missionary now, they use threatening questions. And some of the question, one of the questions that they always ask, and it is the same question that was asked here, is that who have permitted you to come to this country? How did you come here? Why are you coming here? How are you making, who permitted you? And so they asked, who permitted you to rebuild this? And the question number two, which is very threatening, give me the names of those that are leading this project. They are trying to bring the leaders now. They're trying to fix up the leaders of the community. So these are the two questions that we want to deal with. Now, we know that there are questions that are sent and becomes very frightening. Now, let's read something, because Peter was answering questions or was helping believers who were persecuted and who were scattered among, their enemies, and they were threatening, letters. And then this is what he said. Of course, he told them a number of things. I don't want to go to all of them, but if you can read from 1 Peter chapter 3, if you read from verses 8, you'll see Peter is talking about suffering for doing good. That yes, you will suffer for doing good, but you must know how to answer questions. So this time, I want to bring out this one idea. How do you answer questions, threatening questions sent to frighten us? That is called apologetics. That is, how do you defend faith? You see, answering questions that are meant to threaten you and to stop you from doing or building the kingdom. The theologians talk about apologetics. Apologetics is not giving an apology. Sorry. No, it is the art of defending faith. So Peter says, yes, you will suffer for doing good, but you must learn how to defend faith. So he says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil, that is, while you are within these people, or do not repay insult for insult. All, on the contrary, repay evil with blessing, that is, when you're there. We are getting an example from Peter, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. As what Peter is saying now, verse 11, First Peter 3:11, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the lashes. Very encouraging. And his ears are attentive to their prayer. So while you are there, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Look at verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Now, this is where we are picking this story from. The questions were meant to inflict. They were threatening questions. And the question is, who gave you authority? Who permitted you to do what you're doing? And who is the lead? Who is leading this mutiny according to the enemy? Peter says, do not fear those threats. Do not be frightened. So I think this was very good, that if you do not fear their threats and be frightened, what do you do? On the other hand, which Peter now said, but in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. That is, fear the Lord himself. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now, this is very critical because these people had already asked a question and their ears are waiting to hear you speak. So this is your time for you to speak. Remember, Jesus had said, when you get to search and you are asked those questions, do not be afraid also, because the Holy Spirit would give you the right words that you'll be able to speak and nobody will be able to refute what you've spoken. And we have seen a number of people who have been able to do this, including people like Stephen, when they were asked those frightening questions. Many people have done that. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit would give you the right words. And we normally have those words at that particular time. What a good thing to know that we are living in the midst of our enemies, but we have the right words. So, but he says, be ready to answer those questions. I think that is the key point I'm making here. And being ready here means there is some ways that you need to do that. Always be prepared to give, to answer anyone who asks you to give the lesson for the hope that you have. So this portion here, they were ready to answer, but do this with gentleness and with respect. Now, I think it's very good to know that apologetics is not a way of being proud. It's to answer questions because the Holy Spirit has given you the ability to do that, but you must be prepared, but do it with a parameter of gentleness and respect. Remember, these people are the authorities and you are a foreigner and you're a visitor. You are in a foreign land. We should not beat our chest. We should be able to respect and give them honor because we are not in their home. We are not in our home. We are in their home. We are in a place. Now, then keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak malicious against your behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their surrender. So when you speak and give the answer, those who speak, they will be ashamed. Be clear in your mind. But objective is that it is them that are going to be ashamed. For it is better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than to do evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous and for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Now, here, as we conclude, if we go to the book of Ezra now, let's see how these people were able to answer the questions. Remember, they have been asked the two main questions. Then asked we those elders, that's now the question they're asking, and said unto them thus, who commanded you? Who permitted you to build this house and to make up these walls? We asked their names also to certify thee. that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. And thus they returned us this. Now, this is now apologetics. They are returning. What are they saying? It's very important. I may not be able to go through everything, but these people were able to give very clear answer. They were not afraid. You know, when you're not afraid, you're able to give what the truth is all about. Look at what they say. That made these people to be very much ashamed. We are the servants of God of heaven and earth. That should come always when we are here. We should not be afraid to say that we are God's servant. We are people. We are not part of you, but we are God's servant. We belong to the God of heaven and earth. And rebuild, say we are the servant of God, and build the house that was built there these many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and set up. So we are here building this. We are servants of God. We are building his house, which was built much before, or many times, many years before. But that house, but after that, our fathers had provoked God of heaven unto wrath. He gave them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away in Babylon. So they are giving the record. You see, being prepared, we must know the history. We must, number one, know the history of how we have been, where we have been. And the history covers five things. We must give five things. And the five things is that, where are you coming from? Where did it start? And where is your, number two, where is your destiny? So the story must be giving where you are coming from and where you are going. It must give you, what's the purpose? Why? Why are you where you are? Why are you in that situation? And number four is that, who are you? Who are you? You give your identity. Number five, you must also give, or you must show the potential, what you need to do and you have not yet able to do. And number five, you must also show the opposition. Why are you where you are? What opposed you? And so these people are able to give that, and they say this house was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar because we sinned against God, not against Nebuchadnezzar. It's God who gave us into this, and he carried us to himself. He destroyed the house. So we have come to build here. He also carried the gold into his temple. And here now, when we were there after 70 years, another king called Cyrus allowed us to come back here, and he permitted us to come and build this house, which we are building. And he asked us to carry the vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had carried with him. And so this is where we are. And so these people are giving a testimony to King Darius, what these people have answered. Now, this is what the people of God have answered. And their enemies are now reporting to the king. And the king, and therefore they said, let there be a search to see whether what these people have said is true. Look at verse 17 and the last one. Now, therefore, if it seems good to the king, that is Darius, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it is so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to rebuild this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. So these people have been able to answer the question very well, and King Darius will be able to look into it, to search, and you're going to see the answer in chapter six. Father, we thank you. Give us the ability to be able to answer the questions correctly. Help us to know our history, and help us to know where we are coming and where we are going, and our purpose and our identity and our potential and our enemies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.